That's what of this week's parsha we learn about the death of Sarah. Perach of Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Vayu Chayei Sarah, Meyashana, Esrim Shana, Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. These are the years of Sarah's life, 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. These are the years of Sarah's life. And Rashi offers two insights based on Chazal, both of which are prompted by difficulties in the language of the Pasuk. First of all, obviously, we're bothered, why does the Torah insert the word Shana after each part of the number? 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, why did you say 127 years? Rashi explains very famously, because when she was 100, she was like 20, pure from sin. When she was 20, she was like 7, with an innocent beauty. And why does the Pasuk end with the seemingly redundant Shnei Chayei Sarah, these are the years of Sarah's life? Didn't you just tell me she's 127 years? We know what we're talking about. Says Rashi, Kulan Shavan Latova, they were all equally good. And in this context, we will translate that as all equally virtuous. In the Sefer Eish Kodesh, the famous Piazetzin Reb Klonimus Kamis Shapiro, the last Hasidic Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, the legendary Torah personality, in a drasha that was offered on November 4th, 1939, right in the beginning of that famous Sefer, he notes that all of the Imahos and all of the righteous women that we have in Tanakh, of all of them, no one is praised the way the Torah, and especially Chazal here, praise Sarah. What exactly are Chazal trying to tell us with such an exaggerated praise and an incredible compliment of Sarah? He strengthens this by offering an even better question, you could say, or a sharper point of contrast, by noting that towards the end of this week's parsha, we also hear about Nebuch, the death of Avraham. And there's a almost identical or parallel pasuk, Eliyamei Shnei Chayei Avraham, Asher Chai Me'ah Shana, Shivim Shana, V'chamei Shanim. These are the years of Avraham's life, who lived 100 years, 70 years, and 5 years. And again, we have this awkward syntax of adding the word Shana after each of the numbers. And here too, Rashi quotes, that's to show us that just like when he was 5, he was pure of sin, so too, at 70 and 175, he was completely pure of sin. So that's very similar to the first comment of Rashi about Sarah. However, the Eish Kodesh notes that the second point, that when the Torah, when it was talking about Sarah, adds the phrase Shnei Chayei Sarah, which we understand from Torah Shebaal Peh means Kulan Shava Latova, that does not have a parallel, that is not repeated when it comes to Avraham. Why don't we say that Avraham's years were also all equally virtuous, the way we do say about Sarah? What is going on? So to answer these questions, he shares a powerful idea from one of the early great Hasidic giants, Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimanov, who's actually commenting on a very striking Gemara, Masechta Brachos and Daf Hei Amar Aleph, which compares the term bris that is used in the context of salt and in the context of suffering, or yisurin. Because of that common word usage, says the Gemara, just like salt can sweeten meat, so too, sometimes yisurin, struggles, difficulties, can purify a person. That's the Gemara. So says Rav Menachem Mendel Mirumarov, the Hainu, ma melech im mosif yoser mikashir, I efshir lekabel hana mi'abasar. When salt benefits and sweetens the meat, it's only if you put in the right amount of salt. If you put in too much salt, it will ruin it. So too, he says, when it comes to Yisurin, we tell Hashem there can't be too many Yisurin, too much suffering, too many difficulties, or else it'll be like adding too much salt to the food, it'll ruin the food. So too much Yisurin, without any equal proportion or a proper measure of rachamim, of compassion, will also ruin the person. There could be a benefit, perhaps, to Yisurin, like salt, but not if there's too much. Based on this, says the Eish Kodesh, we have to add one more piece of the puzzle, the other very famous Rashi at the beginning of our Parsha, which notes that the beginning of our Parsha, the death of Sarah, is juxtaposed to the end of last week's Parsha, which is the story of Akedas Yitzchak. And Chazal explained that that's not a coincidence, but rather when Sarah heard about what happened, not only that her son almost died, but that her husband, the father of her son, is the one who almost killed him, she was so overwhelmed, so traumatized even by the thought of that, that she died. Says the Eish Kodesh, in other words, what the Torah in essence is telling us by intentionally putting these two stories together, is that Sarah, who was such a tzaddikess, who was pure even from sin at the end of her life, if even she couldn't take certain tragedies, certain suffering, certain yisurin that are so much, if even she couldn't take such bad news and such yisurin, Allah has kama v'kama, all the more so, the average Jew certainly cannot. That is not only a powerful insight, but if we put it in context, it seems what the Eish Kodesh is telling us is that this is a message, a prayer, and maybe even a complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of the Holocaust, that there is such a thing as too much suffering. You know, the beauty of this Sefer is, even though it's written in the shadow of the Holocaust, in the Warsaw Ghetto, he very, very rarely mentions current events explicitly. But Professor Abramson has a well-known book where he offers historical context and insight to all the drushas of the Eish Kodesh, and he points out that this drusha was offered about a month after Nebuch, the Rebbe's son, had died. The Rebbe's son had died a few days after Yom Kippur, and then we have in the Sefer a complete gap, a silence of over a month where he didn't talk, there were no drushas, nothing public. This is the first drusha that he gave after his son died. And there, it's not a coincidence, I think Professor Abramson makes a very powerful point, that these are the first public words being offered by the Rebbe since the death of his son, also his daughter-in-law and his sister-in-law, and therefore, you really have to read that into the words. That is to say, this is not stam a message, but a deeply personal message to Hashem that is couched in a brilliant drusha. He goes on the Eish Kodesh and says that perhaps we can go further and say that Sarah, so to speak, intentionally gave over her life. She intentionally died when she heard the news, the Tovat Am Yisrael, for the betterment of the Jewish people, in order to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you see, there's only so much the Jewish people can take. If even someone like me, Sarah in essence was saying, if even someone like me can't take this news, you can't expect the average Jew throughout history to take such horrible news. And adds the Rebbe, even if a person could somehow survive, but that doesn't mean that physically, intellectually, even spiritually, their strength will remain the same. They'll be broken. They'll be, so to speak, half dead. And Hashem needs to realize this. So then the Eish Kodesh concludes and says, now we can answer the question we started with. Why is there such extra emphasis on the godless of Sarah, even beyond Avraham? Why does it say, Kulan Shava Latova, all of her years were for virtue? Says the Rebbe, because you might have thought that Sarah sinned by caring too much, by caring so much that she could not go on. And therefore she ended up giving up her life for no reason. But says the Rebbe, because she did so selflessly, Latovas Am Yisrael, for the good of the Jewish people, that's what Chazal mean when they say, Kulan Shavin Latova. Not just the years of her actual life, the 127 years, but Kulan, even those extra years she could have lived longer had she chose, and she was supposed to live, but even those are considered good, even those are considered virtuous and pure and sinless, and pure, because she did that Latovas Am Yisrael to give us Chizuk, to tell Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to realize there's only so much you can do with the Jewish people, they can't handle more than that.